the Record for Monday, March 10th, 2014. I'm Marcy Silman.
I'm Steve Scher. If you've driven to Oregon on I-5, you've probably crossed the Columbia River Bridge. For more than a decade, lawmakers in Washington and Oregon have been trying to build a new bridge to replace it.
Last Friday, the Oregon legislature decided to kill the Columbia River Crossing project. This comes after Washington lawmakers essentially backed out of a deal to help fund and construct the new bridge. Chris Lehman covers the Oregon legislature in Salem for Oregon Public Broadcasting. I asked him, if people have been using this bridge for so long, then why do we need a new one?
Well, it is true that the current bridge is up and is being used by thousands of cars every day, but it's narrow, it frequently gets congested during rush hours, and it's also vulnerable to earthquake damage, according to supporters of the replacement project.
How much was this project supposed to cost?
Well, the estimates ranged starting at about $2.9 billion and going up from there, depending on what it included. One of the contentious points of the project is that some groups wanted to add a light rail line over the bridge between Portland and Vancouver. And some opponents said that was too costly and increased the overall cost of the project.
Chris, I know that when Washington Governor Jay Inslee, who had been a strong proponent, finally conceded that this was not going to be something that Washington took up, Oregon said, hey, we're all for it. But now the news is that Oregon's not going to go ahead. Why? Why not?
There was a lot of discontent in the Oregon legislature from lawmakers who said, hey, last year we voted to authorize these construction bonds to the tune of $450 million, but Washington lawmakers didn't do what they felt was, their part for the project. So they didn't want to move ahead this year with a second vote going on their political record. They said it's time for Washington to step up and do something, and in the absence of that action, Oregon lawmakers just figured they'd let it go for now.
So Representative Greenlick of Portland said that Washington backing out of this deal was really the final nail in the coffin. It sounds like that is true.
Exactly. There was some appetite for a so-called Oregon-only approach. A lot of building a bridge has to do with acquiring land on either side of the new crossing. So obviously everything on the Oregon side, Oregon could do. They could buy land on the Washington side and conceivably build a project without any specific financial support from Washington State. But there just wasn't the appetite for that. So Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber ordered the Columbia River crossing to be mothballed, which indeed is going to happen. It doesn't appear to be on the radar anytime soon for a new project there.
Mothball doesn't mean canceled, so we're not talking about anything happening soon. Is it dead in terms of looking out 5-10 years into the future?
Well, I think it's unlikely in 5 years, but 10 years is an awfully long time, politically speaking. So, no, nobody's saying that there will never be a new bridge over the Columbia River on Interstate 5. But the current staff, for instance, working on the project is being let go. The offices are physically being closed. So to get it up and running again would require a dramatic turnaround at this point.
Chris, thanks so much for the update.
You're welcome.
Chris Lehman covers the Oregon legislature in Salem for our Oregon Public Broadcasting. Austin Jenkins covers the Washington legislature for KUOW. He's our Olympia correspondent. And Austin joins us now with more on stalled transportation projects and efforts by Washington lawmakers to hash out a budget deal because this legislative session is supposed to end Thursday. Hi, Austin.
Hi, Marcy.
So you just heard Chris Lehman, and he says that many Oregon lawmakers blame the Washington legislature for the death of the Columbia River Crossing project. What's the story this side of the Columbia?
Well, I think just a reality check. It's very hard to build a bridge between two states when you don't have both states with money in the game and a willingness to do this. I mean, theoretically, Oregon could build half a bridge, and Washington could say you can't connect to our side of the river. So, that's part of the problem, the funding issue. I mean, Oregon, I just wasn't going to come up with the money to do this by itself. But what happened here is that the governor very much wanted this, but last year when it became politically untenable, he wasn't going to jeopardize his entire push his push for a big transportation funding package just because of this one project. And so it fell off the table, and that's sort of where things got left.
Republican Don Benton said, and I'm quoting, "I'm very happy, and I'm sure all of my constituents and many in Clark County who are not my constituents are thrilled to death to see this horrible boondoggle finally come to a close." Is that the prevailing sentiment in Olympia when it comes to the Columbia River crossing?
I think it depends on the lawmaker you're talking to. There are Southwest Washington lawmakers who are dismayed that this has happened, and there are those like Senator Benton who are claiming victory. I mean, much of his opposition had to do with the fact that this bridge was going to include light rail. And so that's the constituency he's speaking to. But I can assure you there are Southwest Washington lawmakers who are quite upset about this.
Now, all session long, we've been following the lack of progress. I was going to say progress, but the lack of progress on a statewide transportation package. This is the final week, or theoretically the final week of the session. And I understand a Snohomish County lawmaker has come up with a last-ditch effort at compromise. Can you explain what's going on with that?
Well, this is State Senator Steve Hobbs, and I've got to give a hat tip here to Jerry Kornfield with the Everett Herald, who writes the Petri Dish blog, who broke this story. Senator Hobbs is an interesting case study. He is a member of what used to be known as the Roadkill Caucus. These were Democrats who were more centrist to conservative, who often felt like their own party wasn't exactly reflecting their values or their district's values, and so there were times when they would jump ship and join with Republicans, not to the extent of actually leaving the caucus, as we saw with a couple of other Democrats who helped Republicans gain control of that chamber. But Steve Hobbs basically is proposing what he views as a centrist compromise proposal, and really what it is on paper is just that. It's a proposal on paper and saying, here's what it might look like if the two sides could get together. This does not represent a major step forward, and in point of fact, it would appear that nothing has changed. That is, that the parties involved in the negotiations, A, are not negotiating and still can't bridge their differences, and this will be something that the governor continues to fight for and continues to push for in the months ahead.
This was the governor's top priority.
One of his very top priorities from the first day he took office. And he's, you know, joked about the fact that he wanted this by the Apple Cup, and he meant last Apple Cup, but now he's sort of amended that to say Apple Cup 2014. The point being there that this is not likely to happen during a campaign election season. So you really do probably have to wait until after November. Whether they would come back in for a special session or just push this off to 2015 remains to be seen.
2015, because not an election year, they'll have less on the line?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but they'll have a two-year budget to deal with and another major McCleary down payment for public schools. So trying to do it in a special session after the election but before the beginning of the year might start to seem politically feasible, if not savvy.
I'm speaking with Austin Jenkins. He's KUOW's Olympia correspondent. Well, so this was not a big budget writing year, Austin, but they did have some financial work to do. Is everything complete?
No, but I think the goal is to have a deal, possibly by the end of today. I mean, they are running out of time because there's just some process involved in getting a budget, even a supplemental budget, passed off of both the floors of both chambers. So they're working on a deal. They're trying to get that language in place. And in reality, the actual supplemental budgets themselves between the House and the Senate aren't that different. But there's, as always, a lot of things related to the budget that are contentious and that people are holding out for because they want, that related but not direct budget measure, for instance, to pass or to die. And so there's a lot of horse trading and a lot of delicate negotiating that goes on in these final hours.
You expect anything new to come out in the next 4 days?
What we need to see is a lot of things potentially come together. There is a fight going on right now over a fee that goes to pay for homeless housing. There is still this unanimously supported bill to provide in-state tuition to veterans that hasn't been sent to the governor because they can't agree whether to move the House or the Senate version. There's this No Child Left Behind waiver and tying test scores to teacher evaluations issue that the governor is working, putting a lot of heft behind the scenes on right now. So there's a lot of moving parts, and the time frame is shrinking. Everybody's still saying they think they can get out on Thursday, but ask me tomorrow how that's looking.
Well, we saw three special sessions not that long ago. Any chance that they will go into overtime?
If they do, my guess is it will be because of just running out of time but not because they're going to be here for some protracted period of time. I think that the incentive is to get done and go home. They can't raise money for their campaigns as long as they're here. So that's a real incentive for politicians up for election to finish their work in Olympia and head back to their districts.
Austin, always a pleasure. Thanks for talking with us.
You're welcome, Marcy.
Austin Jenkins is KUOW's Olympia correspondent, talking about the end of the Washington State legislative session, which is scheduled for Thursday. We'll see if that happens. With Steve Scherer, I'm Marcy Silman, and you're with The Record on KUOW.